So, how many of you would say that we are blessed people? Amen. We're blessed people. I can say with confidence that probably everybody in this room has received more gifts in your lifetime than what you can even remember. Right? How many of you can even remember maybe what you got last year for Christmas? A couple. You can remember everything? Okay, not everything. How many of you can remember what you got for your birthday? Some of you that had a birthday really recently might be able to remember. You can remember? Well, yours was like 2 weeks ago. That's not fair. Or a month ago. How many of you can remember what you got for Valentine's Day? Or your anniversary? Jody's got a good memory, and Jan. There's a couple of you. It's the same day. Okay, well, that's kind of cheating. But how many of you can remember every random gift that maybe you got throughout the year? Maybe you'd be like, well, I don't get random gifts throughout the year. You need to get some better friends. Come to church next week. We'll just be better friends, okay? We don't want everybody leaving. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this year when I got my presents for my birthday, this is what I did. I learned this lesson. If you let somebody borrow something, I read what you're supposed to do. So I let Jan borrow my water bottle, right? I'm going to show you. This is what you do. It's like, I'm going to let Jan borrow my water bottle. And so when I give it to her, I'm going to take a picture of her holding it. She's like, and then I know when I can't find my water bottle, when she doesn't return it to me, I can be like, Jan, you got my water bottle. She says, no, I don't. I'm like, oh, yes, you do. I got the picture right here. So I read that one time, and I was like, that is great, and my dad needs to start doing that, because he's always calling me, asking me if I have something of his, and I'm like, I've got my own one of those. Why are you asking me? He's like, well, I gave it to somebody. I'm like, well, ask somebody else, all right? But I was thinking about that with gifts, and I'm like, you know what? I don't even have a clue what I got last year for my birthday or for Christmas. And I know when I got those things that they meant something to me. I know that I was thankful for them. I know that I was genuinely thankful. So this year what I did is I got my gifts from Christy and the kids and I put them all on the couch. I'd already started eating the Reese's and drinking the Coke, but I just put it up there anyway. Put them all on the couch and I took a picture. I was like, now if I need to remember what I got for my birthday last year, I can just go look on my phone, pull up the picture. I can remember it all. See, it's a great idea. If you need to start remembering, take pictures. See, kids get so much stuff for Christmas sometimes, they don't even have time for everything that they've got. How many of you, I know at least one family in this church does this. Your kids get so many presents, you just kind of hide some of them from them, and then you kind of recycle them. It's like, hey, look, we got all these fun toys, and then like you take those other ones away, and then you bring them back, and it's like new toys again. You know, I know that my kids have been like that in Christmases past where it's like, they got so much stuff. I'm like, it's like March. You haven't even opened that yet? You know, I mean, a lot of families are like that. Kids get so many things, they don't know what they've got. And sometimes a kid will get a phenomenal gift, just something that's awesome, something valuable, maybe even something that's in high demand. What's the thing that's in high demand this year? There's animals that like hatch out of an egg or something like that doesn't even look cool to me, but I'm an adult, so maybe it's not supposed to look cool to me. But kids may get something that's in really high demand and really low supply, and a lot of people wish they could have it, but they can't, right? They can't get their hands on one, or maybe they'd pay five times what it costs on the open market. But these kids may get those toys, and they might play with it every day for like a week, right? You get it, and it's like, this is the best gift ever. Play with it every day, all day. It's all they want to do. And then before you know it, where's it found? Bottom of the toy box, on the shelf in the closet, with all the other stuff that's no fun or that's old. It's no good anymore. This awesome gift at some point probably becomes no big deal. It's just like everything else that they already have. It's no longer exciting and they're looking for something better. Right? It's like, now I can't wait for my birthday so I can get blah, blah, blah. All right? And some of you adults are like that too, but I'm picking on kids right now. Today, I want to tell you that I really think that adults are no better. I think we treat the gifts that God gives us this exact same way. This exact same way. See, when God gives you a gifting and you realize that, it's exciting. And you're like, I can't wait to use this, and this is amazing, and look at what God is doing in my life. And then at some point it starts to become common, like, well, I've had that for a while. I need something better. I need something that's a little more fun. I need something more exciting. And there's someone else who's probably wishing that they could have it. And they're like, I wish I had that gift. You're not even going to use it? Like, can you give that to me? How great would it be if we could have gift transfer, right? Like, Lord, that person has this gift and they're not using it. Can I have it? And I have this one I don't want anymore. I'll ship it to somebody else. You know, we look at these gifts and at some point, just like a kid does, we end up putting it on the shelf. We throw it in the bottom of the toy box. We look for something better. But I'm going to tell you, there's a tremendous difference between a gift of like a toy that you give to a child and the gifts that the creator of the universe gives to his children. Right? I'm using this as a comparison, but there's a tremendous difference here between a gift for a child and the gifts from the Father. See, toys, they do go out of style and they do become uncool because guess what? They're always making things better. Better. We all know, like, if you had Rock'em Sock'em robots from when we were kids, like, you could run those over with a tank and then use it again. You buy the one that they have now, and like, if it's still in one piece when you get it out of the box, you punch the robot one time, the head falls off, and you can't put it back on. They make everything like junk now. But especially when it comes to innovative things in electronics, it gets better and better and better. And the thing from last year, it's not cool anymore. And so things do go out of style. More exciting ones are made, and things are enhanced and improved, or at least they're marketed as though they're enhanced and improved. But I'm going to tell you that the gifts of God are perfect. The gifts of God, see, they're always exciting. They can't get any better or be improved upon. There's no better one that's coming out next year. What you got is what you got, and it's good today. It's going to be good tomorrow, and it's going to be good forever. And you can use them to change people's lives for the good. James 1:17, we use this frequently. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And then Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Man, do you know that God has given you spiritual gifts? Like, is there anybody in this room who God has not given any spiritual gifts? You may not know what they are. I mean, that's possible. There's a point in your life where you may not recognize them as gifts, but God has given all spiritual giftings, and he can give you more, okay? But are you using the ones that he's given you already? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves really on a daily basis. Am I using the giftings that God's already given me? Because, listen, we are kind of, I mean, fallen man is greedy, right? We all want more. And I think a lot of times it's like, you know, we're like that kid asking for the next present. Like, man, I need an iPhone 38 for Christmas. And God's like, dude, have you used the other one? Like, what'd you do with the phone you got right now? Like, you just got it on the shelf. Like, you're not even using it? That's foolish. Like, you're going to go out without anything because you're waiting for the new one? We do that with giftings. It's like, you know what? I really want to be able to do this. I really would like if God would grow me in this. And he's like, dude, you're not even responsible with what I've already given you. Like, why would I give you something else when you're not using what I've given you in the first place? And you may look at me today and say, I don't know if I have any spiritual gifts. I'm going to tell you, all it is that you don't know what they are. You do have them. There's three different scriptures that lay out specific spiritual gifts that God gives us. And the first one, the one I'm going to focus almost exclusively on today, is what are known as the motivational gifts, or the gifts of the Father. These are in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read this whole thing here. It's Romans 12, verse 3 through 8. Follow along here. It should be on the screen if you don't have a Bible. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. If he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. See, these gifts right here are knit into every human being in the womb. Not all these gifts, but these gifts are knit into a person upon creation. They're part of your makeup. They're part of your personality. Every person in this room, every person on this earth has at least one of these gifts. Every person has at least one. These are a fundamental part of your desires, of your impulses, of your interests. And we can look at this list, and you can probably, will you put that back up, that list? You can look at this list, and you can probably find somebody who's not even saved, doesn't know the Lord at all, and you can be like, well, they have one of these gifts. You can look at them. You can find people who are not saved that have these giftings. See, these gifts are things that the Father put into people upon creation. This is why we say that no one is good apart from God. How many of you know people that are not saved that do good things? Good things, right? You know why they do good things? Because they have some good gifts in them from the Father, right? So they may not be saved. And that's something I didn't get at one point in my life. I was like, I know some amazing people who don't know Jesus. There's some people, some business owners that are multimillionaires, multibillionaires, that they give away more money than we collectively will ever see in our lives. And they give it away to charities left and right. Some of them may do it for tax write-offs, but some of them do it because they have a giving, charitable heart. Why is that? How can they do that if they don't know the Lord? Because they have gifts from the Father instilled in them from their creation into their being. And so we can say that no good thing is done apart from God. These are the good things that some people do. It's because of the giftings that they have. He tells us, Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. This applies to everybody. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to, because the things that you do and that you have that are good, they're from God. It's not anything that you have done. It's kind of like faith. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not anything that you've done. The good natural abilities and giftings that you have, it's not because you're great. There's a reason why you're naturally good at it. You didn't do anything to obtain that skill set. It's from God. Be thankful to him. Don't think too much of yourself. These giftings are not evidence of salvation. They're evidence of a creator. You think about that for just a moment. The guy who you know, you're like, man, he is just so kind and loving to everybody. And he doesn't know Jesus. It's not a sign that he's saved. It's a sign that he was created. It's a sign that he didn't just come from nothing, but that he was created, molded, and shaped, and made to be that person who is kind and loving, maybe generous. We are to use these gifts together for his purposes. Why would God give us these gifts? He gave us these gifts to use together for his purposes to be the church. Listen, even the unsaved guy that you see these qualities in, the reason he has these giftings is to be a part of the church, to be Christ's hands and feet upon this earth. Verse 4 said this, it said, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Man, church, we've got to get this. We've got to get this, that it takes many members to function as one body, but not all the members have the same giftings. I'm going to tell you a secret. If all the members had the same giftings, we would not function as one. I mean, think about it for just a minute. If we all had all the gifts, why do we need each other? We could just do everything that we want on our own. We are to work together. Verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ." See, there's the in Christ part. That's important. We're one body because we're united through him, through what he did on the cross, and through what he's instilled in us. And he's called us together to do his work because we have to do it together. Individually, we are members of one another. Now, I'm going to tell you, something I've really wrestled with and struggled with over the last few years, and Mark can attest to this. I've talked to him a few different times about church membership. I hate church membership. In the religious, traditional sense that it is, I understand asking people to make a commitment to the church, but I'm going to tell you what. I've seen as many people step on that paper on their way out the door as I have seen stay here. So what does it mean if we're signing it, if we're not actually staying true to it anyway? We are members of one another. You catch that? We, if you're a believer, if you are in Christ, we are members of one another. We are entitled to work together because of what Christ did on the cross. You get the privilege of being one another, of us needing each other. We are called to do it because we have these giftings that only work together. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. And Paul says, let us use them. Let us use them. Now remember, everyone has some of these gifts, but Paul here is speaking to the church. What are we supposed to do with these gifts? We are to use them, these separate gifts, together as one. Listen, if you're not using your gifts in the church, then you are not using them properly. It doesn't matter how charitable you are. It doesn't matter how good and kind and nice you are. It doesn't matter how well you teach and lead and how caring you are to those that are in need. If you're not using them as part of the church, as part of the body, you're not using them properly. We were not created to all be lone rangers and just go out in the world and I'm just going to do what I think is best. I do not care for Christians saying they don't need to come to church. I think people that say that they don't need to come to church, they don't understand the word of God. Because how can you operate as part of a body if you're doing everything on your own? Cut your arm off and throw it out in the ditch and see how much work it does. It can't do anything out there by itself. It just bleed all over the grass. Jimmy will be mad when he has to mow around it. He'll probably send it to you in a box and it'll be creepy. All right? Like, get this out of my yard. Listen, we are called to use our gifts together. If you're not using them as a body, you're not using them right, and you're being disobedient toward God. That's truth. If we're not using them as a body together collectively, then we're being disobedient toward God. Again, everybody has some of these gifts This is why we can boldly say that every single person has a place in the church. Every person. I love what Bud was praying earlier. Don't you dare scoff or mock at somebody who walks into our church or any other church as though they don't belong there. Because every person has a place in the church. Every person. This is why we can say that. How many of you have heard that before? Maybe you've even said it is, man, the church could really use what you have to offer. The church could really use the gifts and the skills, the talents that God has placed in you. We could really use that. It's true. It's not because of who you are, but it's because of the gifts that God has placed in you. Look around this morning. Look around at the people next to you. How can you use your gifts to help the people that are around you? That's what we ought to be thinking. Not how can I use my gifts so that I can get a pat on the back, right? That's how a lot of people like to use their gifts. Well, if I didn't get thanked for using my gifts, then I'm not going to do it anymore. That's pretty foolish. I mean, if you're waiting on somebody else to thank you for using a gift that God gave you that you should be thanking him for, seems kind of foolish to me. Seems like you kind of got things a little bit out of balance. Things are a little bit out of whack. These are gifts that God has placed in you. How can you use them to help one another? And how can you use them out there to draw people to him? That's the key. That's the key to the gifts. We use them collectively. Right now, I do not believe we're having a very big impact on the community that's around us. I don't think that we are. Sometimes we're not even using the giftings that we have in here with each other. So how are we going to use them out there where we can impact others to bring them in here so they can get to know him? We've got to figure out, how do I use my giftings to impact this world for his kingdom? You know, I've sat here and watched people over the years, and some are not even here anymore, take their giftings and they just set them up on the shelf and just leave them up there. It's like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. And, you know, I know that people are busy, but who isn't? Raise your hand in here if you're not busy, if you have nothing to do. People are busy. Right? People are busy. It doesn't give you a reason to waste your giftings. Listen, is it acceptable? You wouldn't think that it's acceptable for someone else to not use their giftings because they're busy. But when I get busy, I'm too busy, right? I'm too busy to use my gifts. But you, I know the hours you work. I know what things your kids are involved in. You got all kinds of time to use your gifts. But me, I'm busy. Right? That's how we look at people. In the church, this is how we look at people. Judging them while meanwhile we're sitting on our hands with our own gifts up on the shelf. Don't waste your gifts. He says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Man, this just means to speak forth. This is someone who has insight from the Spirit of God and speaks his truths. This is what Bud was doing earlier in prayer. Some of you might be like, well, he was praying. Yeah, he was praying. And he was also being God's mouthpiece. He was speaking forth the truths that this church needs to hear. This is a gift. And in these gifts, remember, unbelievers can have these gifts because these are sown into us in our creation. It just operates a little differently when an unbeliever has these gifts. You won't see what you often think of as prophecy, okay? An unbeliever is not going to be like, thus saith the Lord, and then tell you something, right? Because they don't know the Lord. They're not going to call him Lord. They don't know who it is. But they can still speak godly truths, godly principles. They can speak strong, have strong morals. They can be committed to worthy values, right? It's just not going to look like what it should operate like in the church. Now, the purpose is that God's desire is that they would be in the church, that they would be a part of his body, and then they would use it properly as we see it done in the church. This gift is used to build up the church. So let us use it by prophesying in proportion to our faith. Or maybe it's ministry. Maybe your gifting is ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. This is those that have the heart of a servant. Now, I'm going to tell you, this doesn't mean those who are willing to serve. Listen, a lot of people can be willing to serve. It doesn't mean you have the God-given gift of serving, the God-given gift of ministry. Those are the people who naturally love to serve, right? I'll do anything that you want. Let me know when and where. Every time you look around, they're up doing things, right? You might be able to think of some people even in this church that are like that. It's like we have any kind of deal and they're up serving. They're up doing things. They never sit down. You're like, sit down and take a break. And they're like, well, this needs done, that needs done. Listen, that's because they have the gifting of serving. And their desire is just to make sure everything's taken care of, to bless people, to take care of people. We see this gifting in these people. They're driven to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. They're driven to demonstrate love by making sure others are taken care of. These people also tend to see a project through and enjoy doing it. They honor the directions and the wishes of authorities, of those over them, of leaders. They help to carry plans and vision out. And anyone can have this gifting, but it is something that we ought to see in church leadership, particularly in deacons. This gift is to be used to build the church. So let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. Now this is people that have the natural ability to teach. Okay? Not necessarily the smartest person in the room. That's what a lot of times we think of when we think of teachers. Like, wow, I'm not smart enough to be a teacher. The person who has the gift of teaching, listen, they just have a way about them where they can explain things to people where they get it. And maybe your gifting is teaching children. That's fine. That's nothing to shake a stick at. That's something to be proud of. Listen, you can be brilliant and not be able to teach anybody anything. Right? Some of the smartest people in the world, they couldn't teach you how to do anything. They could tell you how, but it doesn't say the gift of telling. It's the gift of teaching. This means that I'm gonna sit down with Jan and she's gonna show me how to do something. Like, this is how you go about doing it. I'm gonna teach you how to do it. When we get done here, you're gonna be able to do it when I leave. Okay? That's how you know that you're teaching. It's when people are progressing and they're like, you know what? I don't need you to do that anymore. I can do it myself now. Thank you. And you're like, great, that's what I was trying to accomplish, right? Showing them how to do it so they can learn to do it on their own. This is a gifting that, again, anybody can have these, but elders should have this gift, especially to be able to explain and teach church doctrine and the truths of the word. This gift is to be used to build up the church, so let us use it in our teaching. What about he who exhorts in exhortation? This is a person that has a natural gift of encouragement, exhortation, encouraging. I'm going to tell you, this natural gift is not just when you tell somebody that their hair looks nice. That's not the gift of exhortation. Like, man, your hair really looks nice today. Now, you can say that, and it might be genuine, but that's not the gift of encouragement. It's not just telling them they look nice, but this is by telling people things that are meaningful encouragements that lift people up. Like, these are things that are impactful, like when you are telling somebody the thing that they need to hear today. You see the difference? Like, I mean, maybe some lady might need to know that her hair looks nice today. Maybe she had a really rough morning and struggled with it. But I'm talking a little bit deeper, like more spiritual things that are going to encourage their walk, speaking words of comfort when they're going through things. And even instruction can be involved in this word of encouragement. Maybe you even come up here and you get on the microphone and you exhort the entire church. You know what? I got something to say. I'm proud of you guys for doing this clothing giveaway, for how well we come together as a group and hammer that thing out. It's a lot of work, a tremendous amount of work. And you come up and you tell everybody how well they did, and you just lift their spirit like, all right, you know, we did something good, and I'm excited. Now I'm ready to go do something else, right? Because I'm encouraged, I'm built up, and I'm like, I'm ready, Lord. Now what do you need me to do? If you're really encouraged and really exhorted, you'll go do whatever God wants you to do. That's true. When you're kind of beat down and defeated, you're like, well, that was a flop. You're like, what do we got next? I don't want to do that. It's probably not going to work either. Right? We need the gift of encouragement in the church. It's important. It's vital to our health. And the key for the exhorter here, their motivation should be to see others grow in spiritual maturity. That's how you know if you're a real exhorter or not. That's how you know if you have that gifting, because your goal is to see others grow in spiritual maturity. This is a gift, again, to be used to build up the church. Let us use it in exhortation. Next is he who gives with liberality. This is simply one that sacrifices and shares and gives of their resources and their self to meet the needs of others. They're going to sacrificially share and give of their resources and of their self to meet the needs of others. This would be someone who really, truly gets biblical stewardship. This would be somebody that really has a sincere understanding that all I have is God's. All I am is God's. They realize that every dollar is the Lord's. They realize that every minute that they have on this earth belongs to the Lord. If you're not there, then you don't have the gifting of giving in the church. I'm talking about, again, these things can be, people can have these outside the church. I'm looking at them in a church setting because I'm speaking to the church. When we seek to please him with all that we do, with all of our finances, with all of the time, all of our efforts to bring glory to God, when that is our main objective, to bring glory to him through all that I have and all that I am, that's when you get it. That's when you have the gift of giving. This gift is to be used to build up the church. Let us use it with liberality. That means with generosity. Like, man, here it is. You need some more? Here you go. Who's got their wallet on them today? I'm going to see who's got the gift of giving. Anthony laughed. You ready? No. I was like, wait a minute. I got a taker back here. What about he who leads? He who leads with diligence. If you have the gift of leading, this word here in the Greek, it means to be set over or in front of others. See, a lot of people want to be a leader until they find out, wait a minute, I don't just get to be over people, like boss them around, but I have to be in front of them, right? Because a lot of people, they want to be leaders and they want to be behind them. Like, go over there, do this, do that, and you're telling people where to go and what to do. True, real leadership, the leader is out at the front. The leader is in the front. How many of you guys have played follow the leader? Were you ever the leader and got at the back of the line? I mean, that's kind of foolish. If you do, what they do is they just circle around, they get back behind you. That's how it works. The leader goes out front. The leader is in a role of protector. A leader is in a role of guardian. And so when you lead the charge, others come behind you and come alongside you. And this is something you can have a spiritual gifting in. And honestly, I think that a lot more people have this gift than what we realize. But leading is difficult. It's hard. And so people give up on it. I'd say that there's not a man in the world that doesn't have some level of the gift of leading. Because we're all called to lead our households. We're called to lead our wives. We're called to lead our children. I believe every man has this gift to some degree. That may be all you're called to lead. Maybe you're not called to lead the masses or to lead businesses or whatever, but you have it to some degree. This gift is to be used to build up the church, so let us lead with diligence. This means persistence. Do not give up. Keep going. Keep pressing. And the final one is he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. This is one who's sensitive to the emotional and spiritual needs of others. Somebody that's drawn to people that are in need, and they demonstrate compassion, understanding, and love to them. This gift has to be used with kindness and with cheerfulness. If you go to visit someone in need and you complain the whole way there, you probably do not have the gift of mercy. Right? If you're like, ah, got to go visit my brother-in-law's in the hospital, I don't want to go see him, you probably don't have the gift of mercy. Right? When you hear about him in the hospital and you're like, are you serious? And you get on the phone and you're like, can I come over? Can I see him? I got something to share with him. I just want to pray for him or hug him, let him know that we're thinking about him. Can I send something over? Those kinds of people, you have the gift of mercy. It's in you. It's just the desire that you have. And if you don't have that, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Just like with all these other gifts. I'm going to tell you a secret. We didn't choose our gifts. You didn't choose your motivational gifts. They're ones that God gave you. So there's no reason to feel bad. I'm going to tell you, I do not have the gift of mercy. It just does not come naturally to me. Christy does not have the gift of mercy. It's something that we talk about all the time. We're like I don't know when I'm supposed to send somebody a card. Okay? I just don't. And it's not that I didn't get taught properly. It's that I just don't know. I don't think about it. Sometimes I'm like, I should have sent a card. That was like 3 weeks ago. Is it too late? Right? So-and-so is going through this. Should I contact them? Listen, it's something that God's growing me in, but it's been very, very slow. I'm like, I need warp speed here. God, you called me to pastor, and I do not have the gift of mercy, and I need some help. And this is the realization I got the other day. I have help. It's right here. It's the people that have the gift of mercy that are sitting in these pews, because we have these giftings to be used together as one body. Now, that doesn't mean God can't grow me in that. I'm not using that as an excuse, like I don't ever have to do these things. I'm just saying that God has put people in this place, in his body, to do those things that I'm weak in, just like he's put people in this body to do the things that you are weak in. That's why it's a body. That's why we work together. If you have the gift of mercy, this is a gift to be used to build the church. Let us use it with cheerfulness. Now, I don't know why the English word is cheerfulness, because the Greek word there says readiness of mind. It means to have readiness of mind. This means like, man, use that, like be ready to use it. Like for that, like as soon as you hear about it, bam, I got it. I'll text that person. I'll call that person. I'll send flowers. I'll do this. I'll do that. Don't wait for somebody to tell you to do it. Be ready. It doesn't actually mean like you have to be like, all right, they're in the hospital. This is great. I can't wait to go see them. No, it just be ready. Have a ready mind and ready to go and attack and to do it. These are the gifts of the Father, the motivational gifts. Everybody has at least one of these gifts. Say, I have one. You can do better than that. I have one. All right. So you have at least one of these gifts. The question is, are you using it? Even better, are you using it to serve God and his church? That's the real question. What are we doing with these gifts? Most everyone in the world uses their gifts to try to be successful in life. Right? You can use these gifts, these motivational gifts, to be successful in life. I believe that God desires for his people to be successful. But the ultimate reason that we have these giftings is not to have successful lives. It's to make God's church successful. It's to make his church successful. And when his church is failing and his church is not doing what they ought to be doing, it's because of the people. It's not because of God. And there's times where we look around and we're like, God, what are you doing here? Where are we going? And he's like, I don't know. Who in that body has the gift of leadership? Maybe they should be showing you where we're going. Who in that body has the gift of giving? Maybe they should be giving of their time and their resources to make sure that we're going where we're going. Who in that body has the gift of exhortation? Maybe they should be building up the people and getting them excited to go do the things that I've called you to do. You see where these giftings come together? And God says, you have the giftings. I've given them to you. You've heard me, and if you come to prayer, you've heard Christy. We say this all the time. We wholeheartedly believe God has given us every single thing that we need in this church to do the things that he has called us to do. I believe we have every dollar that we have that we need to do the things he's called us to do. And I believe we have every person with every gifting that we need right now to do the things that he's called us to do. But that's all on us. What are we doing with those giftings? That's the question. Are we making his church successful? For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. I'm going to ask you guys to ask yourself a question this morning, an honest question. Why do I come to church? Why do I, just ask yourself, why do I come to church? You may even want to write down some reasons that you come to church. For some of you this morning, the answer is because I have to. And I say to that, well, at least you're here. I mean, at least you're here, and that God has the opportunity to move in your life if you will listen, if you'll be open to allow him to. Some of you may say, I need something from God today, or I need something from the people of this church today. Again, that can be an okay thing, as long as that's not the only reason that you're here. Unfortunately, a lot of America, bam, we're right there. I'm either here because I have to be, or I'm here because I'm expecting something in return for my attendance today. Maybe your answer is, I'm here to worship Jesus. Those of you that know the right answer would probably say that, right? I'm here to worship Jesus. Is that the right answer? Is that what I'm supposed to say? That's great. I hope that you are here to worship Jesus. I'm going to tell you how you do that. By serving him, using the giftings that he has given you. That's how you worship him, by serving him and using your giftings. And maybe your answer, since the preacher is asking, maybe your answer would be, I'm here to hear the word of God. I'm here to hear what God has to say to me today. I'll tell you right now, that's great and you're getting it, but what are you going to do with it? Because it's not just about hearing, right? James talks about how you can't just be hearers of the word, you got to be doers. And so it's not just about hearing what you need to hear today, it's about doing what you need to do in response to the word that you're hearing. Otherwise, this is a waste of your time. That's just, I'm being honest. If we don't do things in response to the word of God, then it is a waste of our time. I know maybe it can be planting some seeds for later. But most of us here are mature Christians. Most of us here have been around the word for a while. And when you hear the word of God, it's up to you to respond and decide, what am I going to do with it? How about, does anybody have this response? I'm here today to see what I can do for Jesus and what I can do for his church. Unfortunately, that's not real often a reason that people come to church. It's really not. It's not a real common reason. And they might serve while they're here, but a lot of times it's religious serving. I'm saying when you get up on a Sunday morning and you're excited to go to church, and it's like, I cannot wait to see what God's going to do today, and I cannot wait to see how he's going to use me today. See, sometimes we can't wait to see what God is going to do because we know the person down the pew here, they really need God in their life. I can't wait to see if today's finally the day that joker gets it. Some of you can't wait to see what God can do because you love when we have those services where it's like, man, I can feel the presence of the Lord in this place. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And then that's it. Then you go eat lunch. 2 hours later, somebody could be like, so what was the sermon about today? You're like, I got no idea, but it was great. How was worship? It was phenomenal. What songs did you sing? I don't know. I loved them, though. They were good. And Bud prayed, and it was awesome. Oh, what did he pray about? I don't remember. Just remember thinking it was good. See, there's this saying that many of you have heard before. It says, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. You guys know that saying? I think that it's time for us to start saying, ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. That's for real. Now, I want to say to you that if you're not in that place, the church is here to serve you. The church is here for people that are in need. The church is here for people who need healing, who need freedom, who need to know the Lord, who need people in their lives to be around them, to encourage them and help them. The church is here for people. But there comes a day and a time in your life where that's got to flip around. It's got to be like, okay, I've gotten what I need to get my feet on solid ground, and now what can I do to help others get to where I'm at? And you know what? If you're having a bad week and you're like, I'm back to the beginning where I need the church, that's great because we're here for you. But then when you're better next week, it needs to be, how can I serve the church, and how can I serve God by using my gifts to help those who feel like I felt last week? Listen, people, when we can start doing that, that's when we're church. That's when we're a church. That's when we're a body working together to do his work, to build the kingdom. God has given us so much, so many giftings. I can look around here, I don't know how many people are here, but every person has at least one gift. We ought to be able to do a lot of things. We ought to be able to do some great and amazing things. I can look at this list, and I can look around this room, and I can find each of these gifts in at least one person. That tells me that we've got what we need to do the work of the kingdom in this place. We've got it. And it doesn't even stop there. It doesn't even stop there. Then we have the gifts of the Spirit. On top of that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to go through these in great detail, but we have the word of wisdom. I'll just start with verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, unlike the motivational gifts, these you can have zero of on up. The motivational gifts are given to you upon creation. You come out of the womb with one of those at least. These the Spirit of God gives individually as he wills. I'm not going to get into those in detail today. I'm just showing the abundance of the gifts that God has given his people. So we have all those on top of the motivational gifts. And then we have what are called the gifts of the Son, which are to the church in Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who in here is the perfect man? I almost raised my hand like as an example, but who in here is the perfect man? Who in here is to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Nobody. There's nobody upon this earth who is. That's why Jesus gave the church these gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? To equip the saints. To do what? The work of the ministry. It is the saints. It is the church members, the congregation, who does the work of the ministry. My friend Pastor Jeremy told me a couple weeks ago when we went to lunch, he said he heard from, I think maybe his dad or something, this saying before. He said, shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. Right? I mean, sheep make more sheep. I think everybody in here gets it. We don't have anybody too young in here, but two sheep can make another sheep. Right? You put two together, you can get another one. Shepherds don't make sheep. Picture that. Don't picture that. Do you want shepherds going around making sheep? I don't think so. Sheep make sheep. See, it's the saints. It's their job. If you are a believer in Christ, it is your job to do the work of the ministry. It is your job to build the kingdom of God. It is your job to fill the church. Now, that's God's job, is to get people to salvation. But it's your job to get people in here so that they can know him. It's your job to witness to people and for you to show them who he is out there. The work of the ministry. That's why we were given all these gifts. It's the whole purpose of it all. It's not so that you can have a good and successful life. It's so that God can have a good and successful church that belongs to him. That's why he gives us the gifts. I was asking myself about all these giftings and what does the church need to hear about these. And this is what came to mind. When are we, the church, God's people, when are we going to wake up and realize that this right here is the bride of Christ? What we're looking at right here. We are a part of the bride of Christ. We are a part of the church. We are not all of the church, but we are a part of the church, along with the church of God and the Christian church and the Methodist church and the Baptist church and the Assemblies of God in St. Elmo and around the world. We are a part of the church. And I'm going to tell you, there is literally nothing in this world that Jesus loves more than his church. There's nothing that he loves more than his church. He died for the church. He rose again for the church. He ascended to heaven and sent his spirit for the church. And can I tell you that he's coming back for the church? Now, do we want him coming back for this small group that we have right here? I hope the answer is no. We want him coming back for a large group, right? I want to see like the cloud. I want to see so many people flying through the air that you can't see the clouds. That ought to be our desire. He loves his church. Ephesians 5:25, we use this all the time for husbands. But let's put the emphasis on Christ here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He loves the church so much that he gave himself for the church. Yet what is the church doing? In many cases, sitting and waiting. Sitting and waiting. Are we really using the gifts that God has given us as one body? Again, there's a reason that we independently don't have all the gifts. It's because he desires for us to function together. And if we're not using those gifts, that's probably a reason that that part of the church is not functioning. You realize that? If you're not using your gifts, there's a reason that part of the church isn't functioning. Maybe you are the only one with that gift. Pray that God sends more. But we've got to be faithful with what we were given. That's our responsibility, is to be faithful. I teach Xander all the time. I have this conversation with him. You are responsible for the way that you react to a situation. Right? You're responsible. It doesn't matter what the other person did. It's still on you to respond appropriately. It doesn't matter if someone else in this church is using their gifts or not. It's on you to use yours. Now, you can let them know, hey, man, I really, you know, you have the gift of teaching and you're not teaching anybody anything. Like, maybe you should be counseling people or working with people. You can let brothers and sisters know that you see giftings in them and that you think that they should be using them, but you need to use your own gifts. That's to take the log out of your eye before you pick the speck out of your brother's. If you're not using your gifts, don't go around telling somebody else they're not using theirs. But we should be holding each other accountable. I've seen over and over, not just in the last 3.5 years, me and Christy were meeting with some people that we look at as mentors that we went to the retreat with, met with them last week, and, you know, they were like, they said, I forgot where I was going with that. What did I say right before that? Yeah, before that. I don't remember. It was going to be good. See, that's what happens when I go off my notes and then I don't remember how I was going to tie that in. Okay, maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. Yeah, I don't remember. All right, well, we met with some awesome people and they were very encouraging to us. As they always are. But I've seen people, I got it. They're asking me how long I've been in the church. And I was like, well, I've been pastoring almost 3.5 years, but before that, I was an elder, and before that, a deacon, and before that, I got saved there. I was like, so, I don't know, whatever year it was we started coming, like 9 years or 10 years or something. And I was like, man, I've been at that church a long time. Like, see, sometimes I forget that I've been pastoring for 3.5 years, but I've really been here as a part of this body for a long time. I think about 10 years, I think. And over that time, I've seen many, many, many people step away from things, cut back, and do less, and do less, and do less, and do less. And some of those people are no longer here because they got so disconnected, so unplugged, it was kind of like, I don't really have a purpose, right? I don't have a purpose there anymore. And it's what I tell people when they start cutting back. I'm like, what are you going to fill that time with? Like, what are you going to do instead of that? Because, and I've had this conversation in the last 3 months, and I said, if you do not fill that time with something else, within a couple of months, you'll be out of the church. And they're like, oh, no, I won't. They are. See, I've seen people cut back and do less, more and more and more. I'm here to say today that as a church, your primary function as part of the body is to use your gifts to be a part of the body. You know, again, everybody's busy, but if we let the busyness of life dictate how we will use our gifts to serve God and to serve God's church, listen, it's going to be empty in a year. There will be nobody here because we're all busy. Paul and Michelle, they'll be here because they said they weren't busy. Thank you guys. I'll be preaching to you guys. I hope you get used to that. I'll probably just have you sit right here on the steps. Listen, we've got to be responsible with what God's given us. And if we're cutting back for a season, then we're cutting back for a season. But I'm going to tell you, it's a very dangerous place to go. I don't think anybody should ever cut all the way back to doing nothing. We are the body. That means we're to serve the body. Matthew 20, verse 26 to 28. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Church, today, I believe that this message today should be a wake-up call to our church. That's really how I feel. This has got to be a wake-up call for our church. Look around right now and tell me who we're reaching for Jesus today. Are we even reaching the people that are sitting in the pews with us today? I hope so. That's part of the reason for Connection Cafe, is to provide an environment to do that. But are we reaching the people in our own congregation? Are we functioning as his body? And why aren't we going out there and turning the world upside down like the apostles did? Why aren't we? And what do we got to start doing to make that happen? We need to be using our gifts. Listen, it's not just about, well, I guess we'll just go knock door to door. No, use your gifts. Use your gifts to draw people to the kingdom of God. So why aren't we turning the world upside down? I don't think that God's church is motivated to turn the world upside down. That's what I see. I talk to pastors all the time. I'm very close with the ones in town. I talk to probably 10 to 12 pastors on a regular basis, and this is what we're seeing in the Church of America right now, is we do not have churches that are motivated to go out and turn the world upside down. Again, I don't mean to just keep going back to Bud, but he spoke a word from the Lord. It's complacency. It's everybody's cool with what we got going on. Everybody's cool with this. You know, like, you don't have to worry about somebody sitting in your seat. You don't have to worry about it being, you know, elbow to elbow, and everything's good. And I kind of like church the way that it is. Listen, if we're not going out there and affecting the world for the kingdom of God, then we're not doing much good. Are we using our gifts? Again, if you don't know yours, let me know. Right? There's tests and quizzes you can do that will help guide you and show you. They're not foolproof, but I can help you to recognize what those are. I'm going to say it is his will that we use these gifts through the church to build his kingdom instead of our own. That is his will. We desire to know, what is God's will for me? His desire and his will for you is that you use the giftings that he has given you to advance his kingdom. If you can advance your own on the side, that's great. That's fine too. If you can have a good life. But our primary focus should be to advance his. We need to be that church that Jesus desires. We need to. Listen, it's not just, it would be nice to be. We need to be. You realize this is his church. We say that. We say it frequently. This is God's church. Who is head of the church? Christ is. We know that answer. It's not me. It's not Mark. It's not the board. Christ is head of the church because this is his. We say that all the time. So why aren't we doing what he desires? We have business owners, even in this room. When you own a business, you're the head of the business, and the people don't do what you want, they get fired. This is a song that I love by the Vertical Church. It's called "Who Will Rise Up." The chorus goes like this. It says, "Who will help the church? The one that Christ loves. Who will rise up? Who will rise up? How long will we wait? And how much will it take? Who will rise up? Who will rise up?" Listen, the church needs to rise up. It is time. It is time that the world is darker and looks worse than it ever has in the history of the earth. And it is time for the church to rise up. But in our church and in many churches around, we are hurting. Listen, we are hurting. Look around. Who will rise up? Who will be the one to help his church? And that's the question today, because the church needs you. Do not waste your gifts today. Who will rise up? That's what I'm asking today. Who will rise up? Who will say, "I will use my giftings that God has blessed me with to help the church, to build the kingdom of God, to reach those who are lost"? Stand to your feet in this place with me. I'm going to ask here in a moment for, if you are ready and willing, and I don't want you to take this lightly. If you say, "I'm not ready," if you say, "I'm not ready to commit, I'm not ready to say I will do whatever it takes to help the church, to build the kingdom," then don't come down. That's fine. I don't want you to, I'm not trying to talk people into coming down. I'm asking if you say, "I know what God has called me to do and I'm not doing it," or maybe you are doing it and you're going to commit to stay solid and keep going, I want you to come down. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you bring challenges to our lives through your word, that your word, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon our hearts. Lord, we are not, certainly not, looking for condemnation of man. I pray that my words are not heavy on people's hearts because of guilt or anything like that. But Lord, I pray that your Spirit would bring true, genuine conviction upon our hearts. Lord, that those who desire to serve you, those that desire to live their life for you, to be committed to you, Lord, those who desire to help the church and to reach the lost for your kingdom today, that you would put it upon their hearts to come forth and to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That's our hope and our desire. Lord, we desire to be your church. Lord, this is your church, but we say that today, Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way in this place. Lord, you are the one that we serve. It is you that we're here to please. Lord, use us as your church. Use us to reach those who are in need, those who are hurting, those who are broken, those who need healing. Help us to be those who work in unity, Lord. God, that you've called us, that we have differing gifts. We have various gifts, but God, you've called us to use them together as one body. And I pray that you do that work in our heart, Lord, right now. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit. We need your conviction and your help, your leading and your guidance. We pray that you would advance your kingdom through this place. But right now, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts, each and every person. Lord, if we have been falling short, if we've been disobedient by trying to put our gift on the shelf, if we've been hoarding our gift for ourselves and trying to do our own thing and we've refused to do that as a body together, Lord, I pray that you bring that conviction upon our hearts. Father, draw us close to one another. We desire to be a fully functioning body, lacking nothing, because we know that you've provided all that we need to do your work on this earth. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Those who are willing to take up the call, I'm asking you to come to the front, and we're going to worship the King of Kings together.